Welcome to the House of Manna. I'm actually saying that to myself because I've been gone for 2 weeks. So, and it's kind of been a rough 2 weeks. So, today I was really nervous to come in here. You see, God has a plan for all of us, right? He's always with us. But sometimes we let the things of the world get to us, do not. And I feel bad right now because I haven't been the man of God that I'm supposed to be lately. I'm crying up here, but I actually feel better now that I'm in the house. You see, lately I've been pretty angry and I've been pretty bitter. And, you know, I've got some things going on in my body and, you know, it's very painful, but I've let that pain get in the way of what God has for me. You know, I've let it get to my head. We just went to Montana and I don't know if you guys have ever driven 28 hours in the car, but it sucks. And especially when you have arthritis in several different places, it's very uncomfortable, but I let it get to me and I was kind of mean to my family. And I was kind of mean to to Carla's family, too. And I feel really horrible about it because that's not who God wants me to be, you know. And Carla and I were discussing my behavior this morning before church. And you know, I came in all tough and whatever. And then, you know, I was here 5 minutes and God broke me down pretty good. So, you know, I feel better now also. But it's good to be back, you know, and I think what really kind of happened is, you know, I went on vacation and I kind of took a vacation from everything. You know, I wasn't doing what I do normally at home. I wasn't getting up and praying immediately. You know, every morning I read on the YouVersion of the Bible, I read one verse every day and then I pray and then I read my chapters. And, you know, unfortunately, I kind of got into not doing that. You know, well, I'm on vacation, God. Well, you can never really take a vacation from God. You just can't, you know, and I kind of learned that, you know. You know, unfortunately, I had to learn it the hard way, and, you know, now I have to go and apologize to some people after service today. And, you know, not looking forward to it, but I know it's got to be done. And, you know, it's funny because I was listening to the song about how God is amazing and that I'm not worthy, and, you know, but for his mercy and his grace and the sacrifice, we are worthy. You know, and, you know, I was beating myself up pretty bad yesterday and this morning and stuff. And, you know, I didn't sleep very good at night. You know, I didn't even write a sermon, actually. I'm totally unprepared today, you know, and I look horrible because I felt horrible. So, but I feel so much better now that, you know, to be in the house of the Lord. And, you know, I've told you guys many times that this is the house of truth. And so I wanted to be truthful today that, you know, I haven't been what I'm supposed to be lately. You know, and if any of you are feeling that way, you know what, just get into the presence of the Lord and you know, he'll wipe it away. And I feel so much better right now. I really do, you know, so thank you. So I don't know, you know, this is kind of an old thing I wrote a long time ago. It's kind of bouncing back between a couple of different things, but I'll save those for later. But, you know, I think lately what I've been doing also is I've been giving credit where credit ain't due. And what I mean by that is I have been giving the devil power over my life, over my emotions, over my attitude, you know, and all throughout the Bible, it says the devil doesn't have any power, right? He doesn't make you do it. You've heard people say the devil made me do it. That's not true. You know, I can attest to that because I'm not possessed. And if I was possessed, my head would be spinning around up here and I'd be throwing pea soup all over the walls, but I'm not possessed, you know, but I've let the devil in. With the pain in my body, I've let him come in, and, you know, I'm kind of pissed off about that, you know, because I really don't like that dude. I really don't. You know, and I read all throughout the Bible, you know, that I saw Satan falling from the heavens like lightning. You know, what does that tell you? Does that tell you that God asked him to pack his bags and politely escorted them to the pearly gates and he took the elevator down? Oh, it means God picked him up and slammed him down to the earth, right? And so that's something that I have to remember now, is that the devil doesn't have any power. I've given him the power. So if you're getting angry or you're getting bitter, you're letting the devil. It's not that he's doing it to you. You're letting him do it. And I'm just so tired of that. I really, really am. You know, I'm at my wit's end with that. And I know that, you know, he's always going to attack us. I get that, you know, because we're trying to do what God wants us to do. And that's just the way it is, you know. But I'm tired of letting him in. I really am, you know. And I don't know. It just lately it's just really been making me upset. And, you know, I've been down on myself about it. You know, and ask Carla, I've been pretty upset the last couple of days, and, you know, mostly upset at myself, so, but man, I feel good, it gets it off my chest today, and so, anyways, so, you know, I'm sitting up there, Montana is beautiful, I don't know if you guys have ever been there, and Ramey heard me say this the other day, but as I'm sitting there looking at the mountains, and the you know, the beautiful pine trees and all that, I had to ask God, I said, man, what happened with Texas? Really? I mean, this is so beautiful up here. I mean, was Texas the last thing you made? I mean, I'm just kidding for all you Texans. I'm sorry. Anyway, so, you know, have you ever noticed, though, that's kind of got in my heart earlier, and, you know, I've seen it a lot, that you see people, they come into church, and they listen to the music, and they listen to the word, but they leave the same as they came in. Have you ever noticed that? And this is a sermon that I'd written down, actually, when I was in the home. And kind of what's funny about these things is that I was given a scripture in the home, and I'd write the scripture down, and I'd go read it real quick before whoever was preaching ever even said anything. And I'd read it real quick, and then God would just give me all this stuff, and I'd just write it down. And I didn't think I wrote anything that they ever said. I just wrote what God told me to write. So, but this is how to listen to God's word. And I think this applies to everybody. Because I've done it myself, where I've heard a word or I've heard a message, and I'm like, yeah. And then I get outside, and I'm like, hey, what was that? What happened? What? So this is Nehemiah 8, 1 through 3. And this is, say amen when you're there. I just feel renewed right now. Thank you, Jesus. You guys there? This is Ezra reads the law. And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So the question is, why do some people come to church and get refreshed and renewed and reset, rejuvenated, re-energized, and then there's others that come and leave the same way? Anybody have any idea? Anybody? Bueller? Anyone? Exactly. You have to walk it, right? You really have to receive it. As Lionel said right at the end of his saying, do we receive that word? Right? You have to receive it. But a lot of it boils down to just, you know, the difference in how people listen. You know, we were in Montana, and one of Carlos' family members was talking about how they go to church. And, you know, they used to sit up front, and, you know, the kids would bounce around. So now they sit way, 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 way up top in the back, and the kids do whatever, and they don't even know what happened. You know what I mean? And that's sad, you know, and it's not their fault, because that church just doesn't have a children's church. And so now the parent is so busy attending to the child that they just totally miss the word. They totally miss the presence, you know. So one of the things that we have to do is we have to be eager to hear God's word, correct? You know, I mean, there's days, honestly, it's funny because there's days where I really don't feel like coming to church. And I know all of you have felt that before. But those are the days when something really big does happen. You know, that's something that I've gotten a breakthrough that day. I've had some healing that I don't want to come today. I really didn't. I asked Carla. We left the house at 10:05. 10:05. I set my alarm for 6:30 this morning because I was going to write my sermon. And then I reset it for 7:30. And then I reset it for 8. And then I reset it for 8:30. Finally, at 8:30, I got up, and then we had our discussion. And 10:05 came around. I'm like, oh, we got to go. But I'm glad I did come. You know, I really am. And so eager. We have to be eager to hear the word. You know, and there's times that I've gone to other churches, and I'm not eager to be there. I don't want to be there. And that really does affect things. You know, when I first got to that outcry home last year, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to hear anything they had to say. I didn't want to be a part of anything that they did. You know, and I missed a whole lot of things for about 3 weeks. And then finally I surrendered, and then, I mean, I couldn't wait to go to Bible study. I couldn't wait to go hear what the word was. And you should have a passion for it, you know, because the Holy Spirit really does light a fire, does it not? You know, it is a fire that burns inside you. You are the light of the world because Jesus lives in all of us, right? And so we have to be eager and passionate about it. And there's been times where, you know, I haven't been and I've missed it. I know that everybody in here has had a time where they have not been passionate about the word, or they didn't really want to listen, or maybe they didn't feel that it applies to them. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're sitting in that seat because every word that comes out of anybody that's speaking to God's word, it does apply to you, no matter what it does. And that's my mistake that I made for a long time is, it doesn't apply to me. I'm good. Oh, I'm good. Don't worry about it. I'm good. Kind of found out that I'm really not good. You know, I'm better, but I'm not good. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. You know, and that's something that I'm always going to have to continue to do, is always strive to do what God has asked me to do. You know, and I've been disobedient. I've been unsubmissive. And I've missed probably a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have missed, you know. So, but thank God that he is merciful. Thank God that he is graceful. Thank God that his love is everlasting. Because if it wouldn't, man, I wouldn't be here today. None of us would be here today, you know. And I was listening to that song about, you know, I mess up time and time and time and time and time again, and he is just still so patient. And that blows my mind because he doesn't need to be. He really doesn't, you know. We also have to be attentive to the word, you know, and that's one of the things where Carla's family, they go to church and they're not attentive because they've got other things going on. You know, and I've been that way too. I've been in here and my body starts to hurt, or my neck starts to hurt, or I get a headache and that distracts me and it takes me away from the word and I might miss something. You know, and I really don't want to do that anymore. I'm tired of it. You know, we have to be attentive to it. You know, and we can miss a whole lot. I mean, if you just get part of the message, you might be missing the whole thing. You know, because it all goes together. It's not just little bits of it that you have to get. You kind of have to get the whole thing. You know, and you know, there's a religion out there, and I'm not going to say who, but they'll take a verse from this book, a verse from this book, a verse from this book, and a verse from this book, and they'll try to put it together into a new Bible. And you just can't do that. And the same goes with any message in here, you know, or the songs that are playing during praise and worship. You know, and that's one of the things, like, you know, when in the home, we started listening to 91.3 all the time, K-Love. And I was a 98.5 guy. And that's part of the reason, though, listen, that's part of the reason that I started to really kind of realize some things and really realize the love of God is because I started hearing the words of these praise and worship songs. You know, and at first I was like, man, whatever, that's stupid. I hate that song. And then I started listening to the words, and I'm like, wow, man, that's pretty awesome. You know, and then I started listening. I'm attentive to the words now. You know, I'm attentive in Bible study. And it's just something, it's just truly, truly made a huge difference in my life, you know. And I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. You know, and I know Pastor Marty makes mistakes. Pastor Inez makes mistakes, you know. And that's one of the things is that we do admit them. And I'm admitting my mistakes here in front of you guys because I believe in corporate, there's corporate healing involved, corporate deliverance, you know. And I have made a lot of mistakes. You know, I'm not Mr. Super Christian, that's for sure. You know, God doesn't put me up here because I'm better than anybody else. He probably puts me here because I'm worse than everybody else. And I need to do this. You know what I'm saying? I need to get a message out because I need it probably more than anybody, you know. So eager and attentively. And then we also have in a trusting manner. You know, how many people have had prophecy spoken over their lives in here? Raise your hand. How many people have not had it come true yet? Do you still trust in it? You do, right? You have to. You have to. Because it does say in the Bible, the word does not go out void. You know, and it does hit. And it's funny because I've had some stuff that's already come true, and it blows my mind. You know, like, you know, Pastor Marty said that God had spoken through Pastor Marty that things were going to go very rapidly in my life. And, you know, when I went to jail in December, I was out in 15 days and, you know, done with it, out, not just, oh, I got to go back to court in 2 months and worry about it. No, I was done. You know, the VA, boom, 4 months, done. You know, being up here, I was thinking maybe 2-3 years down the line, you know, not 2-3 months down the line. So thank you, Jesus, for that one. So, but I do trust in the Lord, you know, and you know, I've had this conversation, and, you know, I see, like, there's some people in our family. I'm not going to name names, not here to do that, but they live in absolute fear of everything, and it drives me nuts. It really does, and I'm like, I don't get it. And what really drives me nuts about it is, oh, God is so good, and praise the Lord, but why are you living in fear? Do you not trust in the word? You know, because I don't think, and I'm not really researched this, but I've heard that the Bible says do not fear 365 times, right? Have you guys ever heard that? You have? I've seen that. And that's once for each day of the year, right? I've never seen it say, hey, fear, hey, you need to worry about this. And that blows my mind, is that people still worry, you know, and Carla and I have even had discussions about that. Discussions. And there's times when she's been nervous or she's been worried about something and I'm not, and she's like, why the heck aren't you worried? And I'm like, you know what, baby? I mean, God's got us. You know, maybe it's not going to happen right this second. Maybe not next week. Maybe not next month. But I know that it's going to happen. Whether it be through this, that, or the other, it's always going to happen. You know, God has us, and his favor is over our house. And it's not just our house. He's over everybody's house. He really is. And so I trust in God. Excuse me, I'm going to get this water over here. So I do trust in God. You know, I really do. And it just kind of blows my mind that, you know, and it does kind of make me, I'll be honest, it's the house of the Lord, so I have to be truthful. It kind of makes me angry when people drop God or drop Jesus, and then they're like, oh, well, I'm worried about this. Or, oh, don't go outside. The kids are going to get kidnapped. Or, oh, my God, that bee's going to kill me. And I'm like, oh, what's wrong with you? It drives me in crazy. It really does. And I'm just, I don't know. I mean, that's just something I got to work on. But ask Carla. It does drive me crazy because I see people put on Facebook, oh, God is so good. And then I see them yell at their mom, hey, mom, where's my laundry? You haven't finished my laundry. You're 35. Finish it yourself. No, but, you know, it just kind of blows my mind. And I know that God's got us. And, you know, even in times like, you know, I felt really bad this morning and I didn't want to come here. And immediately I sat in here and he broke me down, boom, like that. So I know God's good. I know he's always there, you know. And I did feel him a lot up in Montana. I don't know if I was closer to heaven or what. You know, and I always tell people, you know, San Antonio is so hot because it's geographically close to hell. But I don't know if that's true or not. But, you know, it's just so beautiful up there. And I really felt him a lot, you know. But I just kind of closed my eyes for a minute and you know, took my eyes off him. And we all know what happened to Peter when he took his eyes off Jesus in the storm, right? He began to sink, and that's kind of how I was. I was sinking. I really was. And, you know, I'm glad that Carla put her foot in my butt this morning to get me to church because I really wasn't going to come, you know. So thank you. So we have to be eager when we listen to the word, right? It's always got something for us. And I've been here before, and, you know, I know pastors always talked about people about with the prophecy, and it's like, ooh, ooh, me. And then, you know, it doesn't come your way, and you're like, oh, I guess God doesn't like me. But that's not true. Now I'm like, man, I'm happy that he's speaking to somebody else because I know God's good now. I don't need him to speak to me all the time with prophecy, you know what I mean? But there was a time where I was like, ooh, 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 he's over there, ooh, ooh, ooh. And it never came to me. You know, who said I know right? Was that, yeah. You know, I think we've all gone through that, you know, and it's awesome, you know, when you do get it because you're just like, wow, okay, that's kind of encouraging and reassuring. But, you know, that's not really faith. If you've got to hear that all the time, that's not really faith, You know, you just have to know that what he's been spoken to you. And the way I kind of see it is that if he's not prophesying to me, then he does know I'm good. You know, not perfect, but he knows that I'm good in that, you know. So, you know, we have to listen attentively, stay awake. You know, I don't see anybody's eyes closed right now, which is good. It kind of makes me feel good about myself being up here. In a trusting manner, you know, we have to, as Lionel was saying, you know, we couldn't see his breath, you know, the front row, you know, maybe smelled it as he said. So that was pretty bold because I knew if I did that, I'd probably pass out right here. So, but, you know, we don't see it, but we just have to know that he's there. We just have to know, you know what I mean? And I know I'm one of these people, I felt goosebumps. I felt chills from head to toe before, but I don't always feel that. But that doesn't mean that he's not with me. You know, it doesn't mean that. Maybe he's, I don't know. I don't know what it means, but I know that he doesn't always have to be touching me like that to know that he's there, you know? So we have to be expectant with God's word as well, okay? So there's times where I've, like I said, I've come in here and I didn't, you know, I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to come, you know, whether my back hurt or my knees hurt or I was just tired or whatever. I didn't want to come, you know, and I've probably missed some things by not doing that. But we have to be expectantly because it is going to tell you something. God's word speaks to me all the time. You know, Lionel, when he's up here doing tithes, I get hit all the time. I'm like, whoa, Pastor Marty, like every sermon, you know, Oscar, when he was up here, every time they're up here, it hits me. Even if I don't think it applies, but at first I'm like, oh, that's not, some way, somehow it's pierced me in my heart. You know, and sometimes I'll go and I'll meditate on it and I'm like, wow, man, that really was for me. You know, and I've gotten into this attitude where, you know, oh, I'm good or, you know, oh, well, that's for so and sister so and so over there, or that's for Carla. She needs it more than I do. You know, I've gotten into that before, but I do understand that it's for me too. And so now I come expecting. I expect the message. You know, I expect praise and worship. You know, a couple months ago, I came up here and I laid down on the altar completely prostrate before the Lord, and I just opened my mouth and, like, I don't know, Russian mixed with Chinese mixed with Vietnamese and all kinds of stuff were coming out. And that never happened to me before. I used to think speaking in tongues was a joke. I thought, oh, they're faking it. I know that now, okay? You know, there are some people I think that do, but, I mean, I came up here and, wow, you know, and I felt drunk afterwards. I went back to my seat. I just felt like I just hit a 40 of Mickey's. I was like, ask Carla. She was like, what'd you take? And I'm like, nothing. I was up there speaking in tongues. She's like, let me see your pockets. What'd you got in there? No, it wasn't that bad. But I expect it now. So when I come and I come up here and I don't always do it, but when I lay down up here, I just expect things to happen, you know, but we have to be that with the word too. We have to expect that, hey, this word is going to change something in us. You know, we're going to come to church and, you know, we're going to get some healing, whether it be corporate or individual or whatever. We're going to get some deliverance. We're going to get some sort of message that's going to help us change our lives, you know? And I mean, I sat in here today for 5 minutes and I knew I had to change some things, but I expect that when I come here. You know, I don't come here thinking, oh, well, I'm too good. I don't need to listen. No, I do need to listen. You know, and Pastor Marty, he listens too. When, you know, Pastor John David's up here, you don't think Pastor Marty's getting, hey, wow, man, that was good. We're never too good for that, you know, and I'd kind of gotten to that point where I thought I was not better than anybody, but I just thought, like, I was just so good that, you know, I didn't need to hear the word or, you know, that didn't apply to me, but it does. It really does. So I come expectantly now, you know. Prayerfully, man, that is just so key in the relationship with God, isn't it? And, you know, I kind of found that out the last couple of weeks, you know. I was praying, but I wasn't praying the way I used to pray, the way I was praying at home every morning or, you know, where I was at work and there was nobody coming for a while. So I would just walk in circles and pray and just talk to God. That wasn't happening up there, you know, and I found out that that really hurt me. It really did. You know, I just felt, kind of almost empty, you know, and, you know, that's not a feeling I ever want to feel again. You know, it really isn't. So, you know, we have to be prayerful. We have to have that communication with God. You know, if we don't ask him, you know, we can sit in here all day long and get a word. But if we don't ask him, hey, man, what was that word about? You know, or hey, how does that word apply to me? You know, speak to me, show me. You know, we might miss it. You know I have before, you know, and I don't want that. You know, and God does answer prayers. He really does. And I know you all know that. You know, I've seen some stuff just happen like that. You know, some things I've had to pray and pray and pray about, you know, and sometimes some of them still haven't come true, but, you know, I know it's going to, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's just, we have to be prayerfully about it. We have to really just seek God. And, you know, and I sit back all the time now and I meditate. I'm like, wow, man, that was God in my life at that point. But I wasn't a Christian then, you know, but I should be dead many times over, car wrecks, overdoses, stuff like that. But I'm not, because I know God's hand was over me, you know, and I don't, you know, and I've been to this point where, man, I'm just so grateful now. I really am. You know, I just know how good God is, really. You know, even in the tough times, even when I've turned my eyes to him and had my back to him, he's still been there. You know, and that's what's just so amazing. You know, the song was up here that we do turn our way from him all the time, do we not? And then when we turn back around, he's like, hey, man, I'm waiting for you. Where you been? Come on in. And that's just so amazing, you know, and it just blows my mind that he would do that for his children, you know, knowing how bad we can be, knowing how impure we can be, knowing how evil we can be, you know, how mean, and man, I can be pretty mean. I really can. You know, we have to be humble also when we hear the word, and that's always a tough one. You know, that really is, you know, and pride is probably the worst thing that you can have. And I know because I've had it. You know, I thought I'm too good for this or too good for that. And it's always come back and bit me where I don't want to be bit. You know what I mean? And, you know, I've told people so many times, they're like, oh, well, Adam and Eve is the original sin. And I'm like, well, I don't think so. What do you mean you don't think so? I'm like, well, if you read Isaiah about how, you know, Lucifer thought he was better than God and that he wanted to take his power, that was pride. And that was before Adam and Eve. So I think pride's the original sin. And I think it's the one that really God just really just disgusts, is the most disgusted with, you know, because I'm the most disgusted with it. You know, when I get prideful, when I get, you know, to be a braggart or I think I'm too good, I feel horrible. You know, I really do. And that's something that, you know, I've always had to work at. And I don't know. You know, it's just, it's huge. And pride can separate us from God so fast. It really can. You know, you know, I know we've all heard Pastor Marty's story and some of his testimony that, you know, he had pride at times during his ministry at the beginning, and it wasn't working out for him, was it? And we all know that, right? You know? And, you know, every time I've had pride, it's never worked out for me. It really hasn't. And I hate it. I really hate pride. You know, I don't like it at all. You know, but I have been prideful, very prideful. You know, so we have to be humble when we hear from God. You know, we can't, you know, I sat here, I missed so many things in other places at the Outcry Home. I missed so many things because I was so prideful. You know, I wasn't humble. I wasn't, you know, bowing down before the Lord and saying, hey, please speak to me. I was like, hey, man, you ain't got nothing for me. Get out of here. You know, that's pride. You know, I've sat in these chairs before like, oh, that word's not for me because I'm good. You know, that's pride. You know, so we have to really get rid of that. We really, really do. You know, and everything that we try to do on our own, I've failed at everything I've ever tried to do on my own. I really have, you know. And now that I know that God's with me, I know I'm not going to fail. Yeah, I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to stumble sometimes. But I know he's going to pick me up and dust me off, and we're going to keep moving forward, right? But if I was all prideful, get away, I don't need you. And, you know, he wouldn't pick me up. I'd try to pick myself up, and maybe my legs are broke. I don't know, and I can't pick myself up. But I know that with God, he's going to do that for me. The next one's joyfully. You know, we have to be joyful when we come into the house of the Lord, you know. And I know we come in here, and this morning I came in, and I was angry, and you know, but immediately it's like, boom. Wow, man, God, you are good, you know. And I felt this immediate peace and this immediate joy, and I went and apologized to Carla, you know, for our discussions lately. And, you know, I feel so much joy now. I feel just so much peace. And, you know, yeah, thank you, Jesus, definitely. And because I didn't feel it for 2 weeks. I really didn't. You know, we were with family, but I was not here in this family, in this house. And that's where I know I need to be. And I can never take a vacation again. So, you know, if I go to Belize or the Grand Caymans, y'all going to have to come with me, okay? But I'm not paying. You know, I'm just kidding. Nah, but... No, but, you know, and I know now that even if I go on a vacation, even if I get out of the house, I still have to do what I'm supposed to do and what I'm used to doing every day. And I got out of my routine, and that really, really hurt. You know, so for you guys that have fallen away from prayer or not read the Bible the way you're supposed to every day, get back into it. You know, he's not mad at you. You know, he's not. He still loves you. He's still there with you. You know, but I think you're going to see a big difference. You know, I already feel a difference right now just being back in here. You know, and I didn't want to come this morning. I definitely didn't want to stand up here this morning. You know, I wanted to be laying right there crying, you know, but I'm up here. And, you know, I thank Jesus for that because I didn't want to be, you know. So, you know, the gifts of the salvation are peace, love, and joy. But we have to receive that. We have to accept that. If you're angry, it's because you choose to be angry. If you're miserable, it's because you choose to be miserable. If you don't trust anybody, it's because you choose not to trust anybody. If you don't want to listen to the word, it's because you choose not to listen to the word. If you don't want to believe the prophecy that's been spoken over you, it's because you choose not to. You know, these are all gifts that Jesus gave us on the cross. You know, and there's times that I haven't embraced it as well. I've been angry and I've been bitter and I've been unforgiving. But I don't want to be that kind of person anymore. I'm tired of it. You know, I am tired of it. I hate that about myself, that I can be so mean. I hate that. And that's something I need to pray really hard about, you know, that and it's not something I enjoy doing. I really don't. Maybe it feels good for a second, but then later I'm just like, wow, man, why did I do that? You know, and then you feel even worse and worse and worse, which can lead to other things, you know. So, you know, the gift of salvation is the peace and the love and the joy, you know, and increased faith brings about these things, you know, just trusting all the time in God and knowing that he's got your back. You know, like this whole thing with the outreach program. I mean, we got our money yanked away. But did it not happen anyways? It did, right? That's because we all had faith that it was still going to happen, you know? And yeah, I know that, you know, we did kind of worry a little bit, but we knew it was going to happen. We just always don't know how it's going to happen, you know? And that's, I do worry about some things, not because I don't think they're going to happen, but I'm just like, wow, okay, well, I don't see it. How is that going to happen? Is it going to happen this way? Or is it going to happen that way? How? And God's like, hey, be still, man. You don't need to know. Just know that I got you, okay? And, you know, I've been trying to instill that in my family, too. And I think slowly but surely we're getting there, right? So we also have to be repentive, you know, when we hear God's word. You know, I'm not sure what chapter it is because I'm not really good at memorizing this stuff. But there's, I think there's a chapter about, you know, if you bring your offerings to the altar and you have anger or bitterness in your heart, you best just leave it. Go apologize, clear your heart, and then come back and give it, you know, you know, it's like this morning when I came in here immediately, I was like, man, I'm so sorry, Lord. I really, really am, you know, and I apologize to Carla. And, you know, it's not a great feeling to have all this anger and bitterness. It really isn't. And I mean, if you feel it right now, does it feel good when you've had it? No, it really sucks. It can make you sick. Can make you physically sick, mentally sick, emotionally sick. You know, it's just not good. You know, so we have to be clean before the Lord, you know, and I repent every morning. And I know that, you know, Jesus died on the cross for our sins of the past, today, and the future. But what I repent about is, Lord, forgive me for not listening to you. You know, not that I want to shot somebody. I need to say, oh, God, forgive me. No, but I don't always listen. I'm not always obedient. And for that, I feel I have to repent. You know, because I don't want God to be like, okay, well, this knucklehead's not listening, so I'm going to go on to this person over here. I don't want that, you know. And I know we have our flesh, and that's the thing that we have to fight the most, you know. And for me, that is my biggest challenge, is my flesh and my pride. And those are things that I really have to knock out of the park, you know what I mean. But I can only do it with who? Jesus, that's right. So, once again, we have to be eager when listening to the word, right? We have to be attentive. We have to trust in it more than anything. You know, that's the biggest one right there is trust, you know, and just knowing that he's got us. And I know a lot of people struggle with that. They really, really do. You know, we have to be expectant. We have to come in here expecting that something's going to happen. You know, we have to know that God's got us and he loves us so that if we are hurting, that he will heal us. He will deliver us. He will restore us and he will transform us. But you have to understand that. You have to believe in that or it will never happen. You really have to accept that. You know, we have to be expectant. Prayer, we have to come in here prayerfully, right? And meditate on what he's given us. You know, I have to be humble. We all do. We have to just learn to just give it up and just understand that we can't do anything without God. We just can't. You know, so anything that you think you've done in your past, you've never done it. He's done it for you, or he's done it through you. But you have never done it by yourself. Even when you weren't with him, he was with you. Does that make sense? And I realize that each and every day I look back and I'm like, man, I, you know, he was always there. Even with some of the stupid things I've done, he's always been there because it could have been way worse. You know, even though I did it, he was still there because it could have been way, way worse. You know, when I had the DUI last year, I just messed myself up, but I could have killed somebody, but I didn't. Because even though I was drinking and I was taking medication, he was still there. Even when I hit a parked car with nobody in it, and I could have hit a car coming down the street. I was in a residence. I could have hit somebody playing in the street, but I didn't. And I recognize that. You know, I look back and I can see that God's always been there. So I just encourage you right now, if you're struggling with anything, you know, look back on your life and realize that even if you messed up, just look and see how God was there for you. You know, I mean, 5 years ago, I did something atrocious. I could have went to prison for 20 years. I got 6 years probation. God was with me. Even though I didn't know it, even though I didn't thank him, he was still there with me because he had that plan for me, you know. And, you know, even though I didn't want to come here today, I'm here because God has that plan for me, you know, and I mean, I feel so much better just coming into the house of God. I mean, just immediately a lot of things lifted off of me, but that's because I expect things to happen when I come here. I'm eager for things to happen when I come here. I come here and I pray, you know, I come here and I know I have to be attentive. I listen to the words of the songs. I don't just listen to the beat. I listen to the words of the songs, or I read them, you know, whatever the case, if they're up there on the board, I just know that these are things I have to do. I have to be humble to accept the word of God, you know, and I have to trust in everything that's said in this house. You know what I mean? Because it is the word of God and it is true. You know, it says in the Bible, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, the life, which means there's no other way, there's no other truth, and there's no other life but through Jesus, right? And so applying these disciplines into our spiritual life is really going to just elevate us to the next level. You know, and somebody had said to me one day, you know, I was really excited when I spoke in tongues. I was just like, wow, I couldn't believe it. And I told one of my customers who's, you know, he's a Christian too and pretty devout. And he's like, well, just be careful, man, because with the new level comes a new devil. And I'm like, you son of a, don't say, I don't need that right now, man. But, you know, and, you know, I've seen that too, you know, that there has been new devils come. But I've let them come, right? You know, I haven't tapped in, and I'm just tired of it. I really am. You know, I want these doors slammed for good. You know, and I know he's still going to come knocking, but I just want to have my double-barrel shotgun waiting for him on the other end when he does come knocking. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm tired of this. I'm tired of giving in, you know, and a lot of people say they're tired from the fight. I'm tired because I've given in too much. I've let the devil take too much of my life. You know, whether it be through emotions, whether it be through anger, whether it be through illness, he's taken too much from me, and I am tired of it. You know, it's time to rise up. Trey had told me that when he saw me in the spirit that day, I was the Hulk. You know, and it's time for me to be the Hulk. It's time for all of you to be the Hulk and to turn away. You know what I mean? So when you start getting angry, this is what I have to do now. When I start getting angry, I have to slap it in the name of Jesus, right? When I start getting bitter, I have to slap it down in the name of Jesus. When I start feeling like I need a drink, I need to slap it down in the name of Jesus. You know, when you start feeling sad or distraught about something you've done, you need to slap it in the name of Jesus. And I know that slapping's a little bit violent, but I'm tired of the devil. I really am. I'm ready to kick some devil butt. I mean, you know, I thought I was mad at myself, and I was this morning. I was mad at myself, but now I'm kind of mad at the devil because, you know, just of the stupid things that he tries to do to my life, you know. He will try to take everything that you've achieved through the Lord. He will try to take it. And he will take it if you let him, you know. And I'm tired of letting him. What do you guys think about that? Are you tired of letting the devil in? Are you tired of being, you know, defecated on and having the weight of the world pushed down on your shoulders? Because I'm tired of it. I really am. You know, stand up right now as a church.